Coming to the Greater Green Bay Area live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much, Terry Barr. Good Friday morning. Hello, Mr. Mayor. Good
morning, Mr. Mino.
How are you, buddy? It's good to be back in the studio.
Although it kind of is.
We had a phenomenal time at EAA.
We are, and we're going to wrap up EAA today. We've got a couple guests coming on later, and that was a good week,
that
right?
That was a phenomenal week.
I mean, you hadn't been there in a while, and but we'll do stuff a little bit different next year. We'll be a little bit more prepared than we were this year. But boy, we had some great guests on, didn't we?
Tremendous. And capped it off yesterday with those.
Oh, my God.
The United States Army gentlemen. They fly the drones, or they pilot the drones. They fly the attack helicopters. They were ground pounders in Afghanistan. And they're the most polite gentlemen you'll ever meet in your life. And you want to talk about the cream of the crop of Americans? That was it right there.
Yeah, it just. And so respectful.
So respectful.
So appreciative to be. And they feel honored that they could be in the Army.
Exactly.
You know, these.
And they're going around recruiting. And I'll tell you what. You know what they asked me when they pulled me aside? That one guy did afterwards. He goes, hey, man. He said, do you ever think about enlisting? I told my age. I said, it doesn't matter. You seem like the kind of guy that would be great to, you know.
Oh, man. No. I thought they had a lot better quality eye than that. But those guys. Really, if somebody would meet them, and they were very honest about it, right?
Absolutely.
But boy, did the benefits outweigh
Phenomenal.
Any challenges.
And we got something coming up at 6:30 regarding EAA with a group that we've wanted to talk about. Because I'm a firm believer that the females in the military don't get enough credit. And we're going to talk about where that all started as far as the pilots in World War II. Female pilots in World War II. We're going to talk to the person that is in charge of all of their museums and things like that. But first, we got a jam show today.
But after the female pilots, we're bringing on the city manager who's been there, who has really worked with making EAA such a strong event. And then after that, I think, aren't you bringing somebody on with sports?
Bringing on Brandon Kennard from Channel 26,
right,
sports director.
We have someone on the line right now, and then we have a guest
in
the
house. And we also have Big Wayne in the house. Big Wayne.
I'm back.
The greatest beekeeper in Northeast Wisconsin, if not points beyond.
And nutritionist. And
no, they're just just the most famous beekeeper. I'm not the best by far.
It's radio. Say what we want, Wayne.
We don't get.
How many times have you been on my show?
Yeah.
Come on.
They don't.
Don't let facts get in the way.
Right. They don't fact check us here, Wayne.
Exactly.
But no, we're glad you're here. We'll talk to you in a few minutes. But, we talk about. You know, the area that Johnny and I that are broadcast to, from Oshkosh up to Marinette and Manitowoc. And there's always great events going on. And we ask you to just give us a holler. And we want to help promote it because we believe in connecting with the community and, more importantly, having the community connect with each other. We have another event coming up here in the Green Bay area. And this is relatively new. Art is pretty broad brush, right? There's the visual arts, musical arts, and of course art for the sculpture art. And a new event here in Green Bay that kicks off today at 3:00 is called Art Fest. And we used to have a festival here and a lot of booths. I think there was over 100 booths, and people would walk around and poke their head in and look at what was there. This festival that's coming up this weekend is much more interactive, and it's a kind of a new concept, and you can get engaged from cooking to making a sculpture that's going to be permanently here in the city of Green Bay. And that's, again, done by a lot of donations and a lot of great volunteers, and we have one of them on the line here. Samantha Merkus, are you on?
I'm here.
All right, great.
Hi, Samantha.
John is here.
Hello.
And yeah, we're excited about your event. We get to work at 4:30. You guys were setting up already. Very proud of you. You know, get the good workers out there. And I saw Mr. Tilkins out there setting up the some of the tents. And so what's all going on?
Yeah, of course. So Art Fest this year, we have quite a lot going on. A very jam-packed schedule with both music lineups and, hands-on activities and demonstrations. We're, like you mentioned before, we're going to have culinary demos from local Green Bay chefs. We're going to, of course, have an art fair that people are able to walk through. as well as like food, music, and just a fun time for the whole family.
So the culinary part, which John is very interested in, is you get to eat what the chef makes, or how does he do that? Because that's what he asked me to ask you.
Oh, yeah, of course. So each chef, every hour, we're going to have a new chef, and it's going to be a limited amount of samples. They're only going to have enough samples for about 40 people. So for the hour, they're just going to show you how they're making. I think the first our first chef, Matt Sherburn, from right. Anfora Wine Bar, and Delilah's, he's going to be doing sushi, which is I love sushi. So it'll be a really cool thing to watch and, of course, consume. They're just going to do, like, their own special twist with what they like to make.
And that's at Delilah's, right? Right next to Angelina's? Is that?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's where he's doing that. Yeah, that. I love that place.
Yeah, we like there. Kendra, by the way, Kendra Miner, who was our guest last Friday, a week ago, did a big front page story in the weekend edition of the Green Bay Press Gazette. And I just want to say this first artist, Melvin McGee, that's really cool artwork, isn't it, about the breweries?
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about him?
About him, I don't know very much. I have seen his work. I've been kind of perusing as, Art Fest comes and it's getting more exciting. He has some really great work. Definitely check him out. As an art connoisseur myself, I really kind of want to try and get one of his pieces.
But
he's one of the really great artists that we have coming.
Very cool.
And tell us about the sculpture that is going to be really built by people who attend your art fest and kind of people in the community, right?
Yeah. So we are super fortunate enough to get a sponsorship from Capital Credit Union, as well as a grant from Wisconsin's Arts Board, a creative community grant program. Mm-hmm. So basically what people are able to do is on Saturday from 11 to 4, they can make marks and create texture in the clay that's going to be used in the mural. And then Sunday, they're going to be able to paint the colors of and really bring that mural to life. And so later it's going to be displayed on Walnut Street there later this year. But really what we wanted to do is get people, interactive and, not only create create art for the community, but like create it with the community and really help build memories. And, when you drive past, you'll be like, hey, I made that little square. So
that's awesome.
Really just getting people to interact.
Right. And you got a run walk. It says that it's filled, but it goes right on our trail right behind where we're sitting right now, right? Right on the city walk.
Darn, it's filled,
John. I know. Why didn't you tell me
Samantha,
earlier,
you should have called us. We would have signed up, I'm sure.
I'm always late on those things.
I think we got to work with Wayne another year before we were in a run walk. But so tell us about the run walk. That's the paint?
Yeah, what's the powder part of it?
Art Fest Color Run. So basically that starts at 10:30 right outside of Hotel Northland right in downtown. And we have a little over 200 runners. They're going to start with throwing some color in the air. And then there's going to be checkpoints throughout the trail or the running route where they are going to get splashed with color either from cups or we have like little nozzles that we're able to get more of a direct hit for on them on their shirts. They all were provided white t-shirts that say color Art Fest Color Run on it. And so by the time they're finished, they're going to be in their own walking art piece
that's incredible. The shirts really unique. This is cool.
The shirts will not be white. I mean, that's great. People just, and it's really the fans that bring the art to the runner.
Well, and then how did you read about this one? Yeah. Art Wars? You know a little bit about Art Wars? This sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Art Wars, I'm super excited for. So we're partnering with the Tarleton. They actually do this in their space a lot. And so it's going to be competitions every hour on Sunday from 1 to 5. The first three competitions, we're going to have four artists. They are going to know nothing going into it. The only thing they'll know is what media.
Sounds like us doing this show.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And then they're going to be given a theme. They have 30 minutes to execute. And then the people who are there, the community, they're going to be able to vote on who's their favorite. And then the last round is going to take the winners from the previous three and, of course, have the grand champion of it all. So
it's the Hell's Kitchen of Art, right? I mean, they get the pressure
from, like, the TV show?
Right. The pressure to make something out of whatever the concept is. Hey, Johnny and I were at EAA all week, and one of the things that we really were impressed with was the outreach to the youth. And you have some things for the youth here, right, for the weekend?
Yes, we do. So we have a whole zone called the Discovery Zone. It's mainly targeted towards the youth, but people of all ages, of course, can go. One of the ones really targeted is called the Little Picasso's Corner. So in that space,
Picasso was an artist, John.
We have to
explain to John Minor that Picasso.
He had one ear, right?
Go ahead.
Cut off his ear.
That's Van Gogh. Close.
They both.
Okay, I thought he was going to say, but his nose grew and he lied. That was Pinocchio. Okay. So we're back to Picasso.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, Sam. Go ahead.
I apologize for him.
Oh no, you're fine. But it's really just a spot where families can bring their kids. There's going to be like a beach painting class and a pirate map making class. To be honest, that pirate map one sounds very interesting.
Wow.
It's an adult,
yeah.
But then we're also going to have, we have local artists who are displaying their craft and doing demonstrations and master classes.
Okay. I don't mean to interrupt, but he will. I think Jeff was reserving a booth for me for my birdhouses and books.
Yeah. But
yes,
the inventory is a little low on the birdhouses.
Right. And so I think we're all
hold that for next year.
We're all quietly kind of pleased with that. So tell me, is there food, beverages? Tell us about the ambiance of the whole festival.
Yeah, so, we're going to be having serving food in our Epic Events food court.
Cool.
We're going to have the downtown diner. That's going to serve more like pub-style food. We'll be serving beer and wine as well throughout the festival. We're going to have a few satellite booths that, if you don't want to walk all the way down to the Adams Street lot where that food court is, you can stop in and just get a little pick-me-up throughout the day.
Right.
And then we're going to have a bunch of food truck vendors as well.
Oh,
there
great.
We're looking just for – oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just want to say that we're wrapping it up here, but the cost of this and parking, is there a cost to participants who are coming? I think this is going to be big. The weather is definitely on your side.
Yeah, there's no cost for this.
Is that awesome?
We have a lot of free things going on. Some of the classes do cost a little bit of money, but as far as like admission into the event, totally free to the community. Parking's available as well. Pine Street and Cherry Street ramps are available for parking. And then there's going to be handicap parking.
Free parking.
Nice.
All right. We love it. Samantha, thanks for what you're doing. This is going to be a great festival. We'll be down here for that. And for listeners, free event downtown. Get exposed to the arts, downtown Green Bay Art Fest. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Samantha. Mine on the Mayor on a Friday morning. Back with Big Wayne. Big Wayne in the house.
Let's go.
Back after this. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM. We're going to talk about the station we're on now in Oshkosh.
Right.
And soon to be Appleton.
Right.
We're going all over the place.
That Oshkosh is, we have we have quite a bit going on this morning. You're bringing in the women who head up the...
yes.
What, the women's flying, or I forgot, the WASP, right?
WASP,
the WASP. Yeah. And then we have the city manager coming on and...
And then Brandon Kennard from NBC 26.
Right. We talked about Oshkosh plywood and we.
Oshkosh.
But you know what put him on the map, Johnny, though, was that Oshkosh Bagosh.
Oshkosh Bagosh. Absolutely.
Which was started.
So you didn't watch pro wrestling?
Which
when you
was
were a
start. But I just was that Oshkosh Bagosh started before airplanes started flying. That's 1895.
Really?
And flight was what, 1905, 1903?
Yeah, something like that. Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. So
the first blue jeans?
Right.
They were for miners, weren't they?
Well,
how it began,
right? And then they really where they really got going was with the pinstripe for kids.
Oh,
and that's really got them on the map big time. Now their plant, they're headquartered now out of I think Atlanta, someplace in Georgia. I don't know if it's Atlanta. They're not in Oshkosh, but they're still Oshkosh Bagosh was. I was kind of reading a little bit about Oshkosh Bagosh. The president heard somebody mimicking Oshkosh and said Oshkosh Bagosh, and then he took the name. And
really? Kind of so they're not really from Oshkosh?
No, they are. No. The plant was in Oshkosh.
Oh, but Oshkosh
somebody
Bagosh.
But to say Oshkosh Bagosh, I mean, you just wouldn't. It wasn't like they hired a marketing company to come up with that name,
right.
And that name is what put them.
Okay.
So anyway, we're here. We're talking about that,
where it's like you can hire a marketing company for
right.
like $50,000, $100,000.
Right. Oh, all of that.
And they put on their think tank, or then somebody just comes up with
right,
something.
Right.
For example, we were just talking about doing a little not as hardcore agriculture, but about what's growing around the area and stuff like that. And a guy sitting next to me just said, yeah, the name of it could be On the Beats.
Get it?
Yes. So get we it? Got On this the Beats.
So we
and,
got
and this.
This
segment, by the way, that's why I wanted this real quick. This segment is brought to you by Aim Frame Acres, our yard to your table, Suamico, Wisconsin.
And Wayne is...
Big Wayne.
And the beekeeper, he was on... We got great texts and emails from you that you really enjoyed Wayne. And he raises...
bees? What,
bees, I know, but...
The, all the other chickens,
right?
Vegetables.
Look at the stuff he brought in look, today, Johnny.
You could almost be like a survivalist, like one of those guys that just lives off the land.
You know, I've been but, for the last 30 years. I've been a fitness trainer. So right? My thought is, I want to be the garden trainer.
I like it. I like it a lot.
And he brought in this box of just
homegrown
lettuce.
Well,
and
let's just be honest,
from our yard.
Nothing John's
going to
eat.
When you say homegrown, sometimes that has a different connotation. So let's hold back here, Doobie but Brothers.
It's amazing that I still haven't made the connection. How you guys are friends? Wayne's a trainer, eats healthy, and then there's John. Hmm. How did you guys
yin and yang?
Northern Michigan University.
Oh, okay,
we got John Thunder Thighs Mino.
Oh geez,
the toughest gross. Fullback in the UP coming out of the UP.
Just that, was that, a quarterback that was actually, but oh, okay. A running
well,
quarterback.
Well, anyway, that makes
I got
better.
Huge quads too, though.
I know. But,
all right, you know what I want to do when we get AJ Dillon in here? I want to measure our quads, see who's closer.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm sure he'll be all over that. So Wayne, you talk about an agriculture report, but you know, to go to you see all these stands that people set up for the corn,
stands.
The roadside stand, you know, the corn is big. And we'll ask you, cause John will eat anything. And I think people would like to know, is it the right time to
but
eat?
But I do love fresh corn more than anything.
But that sweet corn is right. That's timely.
Oh, it's coming in. Yeah.
But is that stuff.
Is it a little bit more expensive this year than other years?
That I'd have to do a little research.
Okay.
But like, Wayne, didn't some people come in who were selling like corn from like Indiana and now the stuff is from like local?
Yeah. Which is understandable because, you know, you have things that are out of season up here, but people want sweet corn. So like some of the
local corn, we don't want that.
Yeah. Well, at least it's from the Midwest, you know.
All right. That's cool.
And they'll tell you, you know, this came from Door County. This came from Indiana right. Because it's in season sooner down there.
But, maybe it's just, it's local prejudice, but people tell me the stuff here is sweeter and better. That's,
well, of course.
Okay. But you can give us the facts. And then, you know, the whole strawberry thing, cherries, do you know all that? Can you help us with some of that?
Well, the problem is you can't buy everything local all the time here because we would starve.
We're
we're like the last one for everything to come in to ripen. So the market farmers, you know, they're bringing stuff in from the Midwest and everything, right. And they'll tell you. And it's still good, but not.
We got to be at least a month behind everybody else, aren't we?
Probably,
and then the UP would be how far behind?
Yeah, exactly.
Years.
They're still planting up there.
Years, right.
They're chipping the frost the ground away.
Just got through the permafrost.
And then, Wayne, you can update us on, because, you know, family affairs, all this apple picking.
What's going on? I still love that show. Had a crush on Sissy.
Just whatever.
Yeah, I was like,
remember Sissy?
I meant like families together can go apple picking, and you can tell us
for sure
where the good apples are. And we can talk about that. That's later in the season. But what did you bring here?
Well, like for instance, like this. You know, this is not my maple syrup, but this is my buddy Sky. You know, and he doesn't sell it, but we barter for stuff like this. But it's like families that it's like old school small town. Like each family has their thing. So I have honey. He's got maple syrup. Guess what? We barter for it. You know,
nice.
Right? And then, you know.
And did John, like we were talking, the pickles, tell us about, like, did you make those? Or
oh, for sure.
Teach us how to make them?
Yeah, these are my pickles. So again, you know, I don't sell these. I sell honey, but like something like this, I grow the cucumbers. And then, you know, I've done this for years. So I've got a great recipe. And then I'll give them away or barter for them.
And you said if you sold them, you'd put Vlasic out of business, right?
Can anybody do that?
For sure.
Huh?
Yeah.
I got to ask this though. Is a pickle basically a small cucumber?
Yeah, pickles are cucumbers.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. That's all right. That's John is good for another month now. He learned something. So, but I want when you come in, if you're going to be the guy on the beats, I think you have to educate us a little bit.
So if you If you go to our Facebook, my Facebook page, A-Frame Acres, so what I do is, this is my thing, I want to teach people how to do things.
Awesome.
So I have a video of how I made this.
You
can
give away your recipe?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because most people don't like sharing.
No, it's like there's a little touch in there that I won't give away.
Because like the Colonel, that's how he made all his money. He held on to the secret recipe.
Simple recipe, fresh ingredients. It's fantastic.
Right. We're going to do it. New guest.
Do you know how to make cherry bounce? You have a good recipe for cherry bounce?
Yes. Okay. My dad made it. I grew up on it.
Oh, wow.
So John lives on it. So.
Oh, my son's making some right now.
That's not.
What?
I don't think that's a good idea.
That's a good father-son experience.
Just put cherries in vodka. What else is there?
Right.
Is that all this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Boy, that's sophisticated.
All right. Mind on the Mare. We'll be right back after this.
Turns back by the old stump road.
Little CCR 1969 coming your way. Fortunate Son, right here in the big one. Rocking it 97.9, 1590 AM, WGBW, Green Bay, Oshkosh, all points beyond. Mino and the Mayor, downtown Green Bay on the City Deck. Big things happening this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Big things still happening at EAA in Oshkosh. And Jim, one of the people that we had such a fascinating talk with the other day walking around was a gentleman at the old Warbird, and he was part of the Wasp Museum, and I want to say Sweetwater, Texas.
But I think so. Yeah, it was a lot of people from Texas were.
I know they were getting all those towns mixed up. It was all over Texas.
I think it was Sweetwater, Texas, and what?
And a fascinating story.
Oh man,
about the female pilots in World War II. And right now we have Lisa Taylor on, executive director of that museum. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Did I have it right? Sweetwater, Texas?
Yes, it is Sweetwater, Texas, which is a town about 200 miles west of Fort Worth. So if you've heard of Fort Worth, there you go.
All right.
How's the weather down there right now? Pretty cool?
It's pretty hot, but I can't say that it feels any worse than how it's felt here in Oshkosh this week.
We have some hot days there.
A little warm. John and I stopped by and we're talking to your assistant and we invited him to come on the show and he goes, oh no, Lisa's the one that's going to talk to you about that. What a tribute that your museum and your organization is making to the women that Johnny has said a number of times really haven't got some of the recognition they deserve through aviation in general and in military especially.
Yes. Our mission has always just been, you know, to preserve that origin story, right? To preserve how the women Air Force Service pilots, their history, and how they opened the door for everyone else. But then now that mission has been expanded to promote their legacy, right, which is all the women that you see walking around out here in their flight suits. Certainly our women in World War II didn't get a lot of recognition, but I would have to say that, you know, today they're getting more and more. It's really changed. And they've proven that they can fly as well as men and that the airplane doesn't care, you know, what your gender is.
Right.
And you just need to fly. You just need to fly the plane and fly it well. So I think now it's really a matter of just inspiring those next generations to follow in those footsteps. You know, one generation opened the door for the next generation.
But think about
on it goes.
I'm sorry. Think about these women back then in like the early 40s, probably have never been in an airplane. All of a sudden, somehow they are flying massive bomber planes across the country. That's incredible.
Yes. And, you know, they all had pilot's licenses when they entered. That was a requirement. You already had to have a pilot's license, and you had to have, in the beginning, it was 500 hours of airtime, and then they lowered it, you know, as they got, you know, as they were recruiting, they had to lower the airtime. But they had all flown, but they had never flown, you know, the best, right?
That's what I mean. They were probably like crop duster type little things or whatever. Now they're flying. Yeah. They've never been in a massive plane before, and now they're flying these massive bombers. I mean, the B-25s, B-17s, probably B-24s. Then probably the B-29, right?
They did. They did fly the B-29. In fact, you know, the B-29 was developed quickly in 18 months, and it had some issues. It's a four-engine plane, had some issues with engines catching on fire, and the men were refusing to fly it. And so two women were recruited and trained. They learned to fly it in 3 days. They learned how to handle if there was a fire. They learned how to extinguish it, land safely on three airplanes. And then they went around to different bases training the men to fly it.
And you lost one pilot. So, is that right? Or they lost one pilot?
Oh, overall, through the whole program?
Yeah.
Of the women, they lost 38. Out of 1,100.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, there was something about a Gertrude who went on a mission. And
yes, she was the only one that wasn't recovered.
Oh, okay.
She took off late and by herself. And, you know, it's just assumed her plane went down. They've tried so hard to find her. But everyone else was recovered.
And the B-29 basically ended the war. If we didn't have the B-29, we would have probably had to invade Japan by sea. And the casualties would have been incredible.
Yeah.
Right. I think the war would have dragged out. So we were just so proud that these two women had a real role in that. You know, it just, they did do significant work. Their work was all stateside. You know, a lot of people think that they went to Europe. They did not. But, you know, they towed live gunnery, they towed good targets for live gunnery practice. They did strafing missions. They did the test flights, you know, taking the planes that needed to be repaired and testing them when they were out of repair. They did all of that, plus ferrying the airplanes that were going to Europe. So it was pretty phenomenal.
So you must be pretty pleased, though, now that women are really making an impact in aviation.
Combat pilots, helicopter
just
pilots.
In the military, but in the commercial, too.
Absolutely.
You know, what was the play that everybody saw, probably except John? You know, the whole 9/11, what was it, Fly Away from Home or something?
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Come Away. Yes.
Was that the best?
It was on Broadway.
It was on Broadway. Yeah, I saw that there. And they really emphasized.
What's it about?
Well, we too long for that. But they really feature women pilots in that, the women pilot from American. Right.
Yes,
that's just
right.
That really, it's when she got her wings and became a captain. And
oh, cool.
Oh, it's a great, great play that everyone saw except you, John. Right. You know what I'm talking about, Lisa?
I do. Yeah. I do. I haven't seen it either. But yeah.
Thank you, Lisa. Wow.
Right.
Now, you know what I deal with on a daily basis.
Anyway, she talks about in the play, they talk about the progression of women pilots in the commercial airline. But, you know, we're talking to you about just the impact and ferreting these planes back and forth. And again, it just didn't get the recognition it deserves. And your display at EAA is, and it's still going on today and tomorrow. People can stop by and talk to these women pilots. And it's just important that we, that people understand, especially
embrace our history,
but that we honor the history, but that the youth understand that this is.
Exactly. These are pioneers. These are, yeah.
And it's possible for them to fly, these young kids.
Yes. Yes. My favorite quote that I've heard in the last couple of weeks is Martha McSally, who was one of the first, in fact, she was the first woman to fly into combat in the A-10. She said, you know, the laws have all been lifted and changed. The only barriers that still exist for women is in your head and in your heart.
That's beautiful.
And I thought that was so
love
true.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, we got to wrap it up, but just want to say thank you so much for keeping that legacy alive.
Right.
Loved talking with the gentleman there, and I'm going to look up your museum. And when I go to Texas, I still want to go to Texas, and I want to go to Chip and Joanna's place. They're outside of Waco.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then I'd love to come to your place.
We're only 3 hours from there.
That'd be a good drive. I love Chip and Joanna. And I'd love to come to your museum in Sweetwater, Texas, keeping the legacy of the ladies alive that flew these important missions around the country, getting these planes ready for combat and help saving our country.
Right. And a great display at the EAA that's still going on today and tomorrow. I think Sunday, you guys, are you there Sunday? Yeah, it's Sunday too, isn't it? I think it is. Three
the planes will be gone, but our display and Women Venture will still be there.
All right. Outstanding.
Well, thank you for that display. We'll see you next year at EAA. And you know, between now and then, continue your good work.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank
this
you.
Is just great. Thank
all
you.
Right.
Take care.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Lisa Taylor
bye-bye.
From the WASP Museum in Sweetwater, Texas. They also have the big display up at EAA right now. And the legacy, that's pretty much where it started. Female pilots, you know, in the military. It started right there with that program. And they lost 38. I didn't know they had 38
yeah.
that they lost.
Yeah. But I think one of the, again, we talked about the history, and you sure honor the history, as they do in their display. But I still, when you see all those people walking around, 600,000 people, and you see these youth there, these kids got to know that. You know,
no question.
That's an opportunity for them. It's an option for them. It's not for them, you know. And I think sometimes people grow up in a certain environment. It's like, well, that's not for me. Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. And you just got to get exposed to it.
Yep. Nope. That was fun. That was great.
Think about that, John.
What's that, Big Wayne?
When you're getting interviewed for a job for this glorious airplane, you know, pilots.
Yeah.
But there's one issue. It tends to start on fire.
I know, right?
I wonder how long the pause was with these two women. Like, I'll take it.
I know. I had in one of my books, I had a gentleman, Stanley Poplaski from Green Bay. Wonderful gentleman. He was on a B-29 flying those missions. And actually, two different. And he said the same thing. And he was on one time that started on fire. And he talked about what the issue was. And they were loaded down with bombs like you can't believe, because they were based on Tinian, which was the last island that we really overtook in World War II. You know, we did the leapfrogging thing to get to that close enough where you could fly right to mainland Japan. And Tinian was the last one, and that's actually where the Enola Gay took off, which dropped the atomic bomb, the first atomic bomb, and everything like that. But that's where those planes were, and they were just loaded for bear in their bombing missions over Japan. And they did lose a lot of them. They flew all over water, and some of them would catch fire and just disappear with all, because then they'd explode with all the bombs they had. Extremely dangerous way to make a living back in those. Extremely dangerous. Wow. And those pilots, I've talked to some of them, they'd have a bottle of scotch or something in their footlocker, and they would just hit that thing when they came back.
I guess beekeeping isn't that dangerous.
Yeah. Well, did you get stung at all yesterday? Do you still get stung like 10 times a day?
Probably, yeah.
10 times a day? Hey, I was telling them a story. We probably can't tell a story about when you were pranking your roommates and you tried shocking that guy.
John told me that. I don't think that's that funny.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's bad.
I thought it was. You didn't think it was funny?
No.
Well, why?
Because
he would have been electrocuted. Would he have been electrocuted? Not electrocuted.
Yeah, he would have.
We just would have gotten a shot.
It was bad.
Okay.
Right. I won't even say it.
It was a little prank where they put like
Don't even say it then.
Yeah, don't even say it.
Plugged the cord in. Had the wires in a bucket of water.
No.
Oh, this would be funny.
I used my basic electricity knowledge from high school to do it.
This would be funny. He'll wake up and step in this bucket. Oh, boy. Ha, ha. You guys are probably getting out of jail about now.
You would have ran the block.
I was in jail once. That's a story in itself.
Oh, here we go. Oh, okay, the life and times of Big Wayne.
But I just, you know, we had Lisa on talking about the women's contribution to aviation, and again, it's going on for another 3 days. I do think some of those planes are taking off pretty early Sunday. So if you would get down there today or tomorrow, I know there's another air show going on.
I thought it was kind of fun when you and I were leaving yesterday and those fighter jets were going over us.
Cool.
That was very cool. It's like when the flyover at the Packers just wanted to like pull over and stop and have them go over
but
you.
But five. You know, Packers sometimes send three. Five of those fighter jets.
That was cool.
That's pretty cool. Good thing we had Johnny's car with the top down. we took my car.
It's probably so loud. You're like, is there jets flying? No, it's Johnny's car.
Yeah. No, I had the windows down. But
do you remember my old Trooper? Not a car I had.
It was that thing, Zuzu Trooper?
Yeah. Remember the door didn't work? I had to crawl up the opposing side. Didn't have a muffler. Heater didn't work.
That's awesome. That's a typical UP car.
I know, right? Actually, last time I was in the UP, Wayne, I should have taken a picture, because in the UP, they're very resourceful. Okay, like, and the cars up there, they just get decayed so quickly, get crunchy, you know, the rust from all the salt on the road. And this one guy around his rear wheel, you know, normally you do a Bondo thing, and you buy this body filler in your Bondo. And I used to do a lot of that for my cars, and everybody does. I go to the body shop all the time. But what he hadn't finished it, for body filler was foam insulation that you'd put in your walls and around your outlets. And that whole thing, you know, that stuff expands. It was out like 3 inches all over his car, driving around this foam insulation coming out.
I do a coach's clinic up in Escanaba, and the retired football coach Flinner, he puts it on. And this is an early spring, so there's still snow on the ground up there. He rolls up in his Jeep, and the top's down. I'm like, what are you doing, Flinner? He's like, my top's broken. He's driving around in the winter with a parka jacket with his top down in his Jeep because he can't fix it.
You have no idea how many cars, at least back in the day, you'd have in the UP where they'd have a rag for a gas cap sticking out, right?
Oh, yeah.
And one of the windows would be plastic. Although, I have to admit, I drove around in my car like that for a while because I locked my keys in again, and I got so frustrated, I took an axe and I smashed it in the side window.
That's a good idea. Some of us call AAA, but yeah. Okay.
The line was busy, and I had to put plastic over it for a few months.
Oh, exactly.
It's a UP mobile. Absolutely.
Wow.
Big Wayne in the house. We got a lot more going on here on a beautiful Friday morning, 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, WGBW, Mino and the Mayor. We'll be back right after this. The Mayor, along with Big Wayne, Jason, our ace producer, unique choice. What's the mindset? What's the mindset, Jason?
Well, I was just thinking it's a happy day. So,
okay.
I
like it.
And that's your generation.
Yes,
so,
it is. What's that? Hang on, turn Big Wayne on here.
Yeah, sorry about that.
We got a lot of different people talking here.
What was Fonzie saying?
Hey. Exactly.
Like, he must have been from the UP.
Hey,
right.
Hey, by the way, and that's the thing, though. You know what always bugs me? When I say I'm from the UP and they go, Yotter. It's like nobody in the UP has ever uttered the words Yotter.
Well, I don't know
okay?
about that.
Yotter, right? Nobody in the UP, they say A. Like we would say, holy wah, it's humid today, eh? That's
it's
what
like
we would
question
say.
Mark. It's like question mark.
A? Everything is A? You going show, eh?
They want you to reiterate, like, conversate with me.
Absolutely, but we don't say yacht or hay or anything like that in the UP. And everybody thinks we do, and we don't.
Yeah, I think it's too late. That's branded up.
No, it shouldn't be.
Okay, all right, John.
Wayne, are you with me on this?
Oh, my God, I'm honorary Uper.
Oh, you are a Uper. Okay, oh, anything Cribbets North, I consider the UP.
For sure.
I really truly. Yeah, I feel like you're hitting the UP once you get to Cribbets.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes, no question about it.
Never been to the UP.
You have to.
No, I have. I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right.
I got a speeding ticket in Cribbets.
Oh, everybody does. So did I.
Well, then the county cop must have just been there at that moment because there was no cops in Cribbets when I grew up.
No, but I'll tell you something. So you know what happened? Well, I'll tell you a long story. It's a long. But one time I was taking my basketball team up to Negaunee for the NIT basketball tournament. And back then it was two-lane. So I got behind this truck, tractor, whatever, going 35 miles an hour for like 40 miles. So finally we get to the city limits of Cribbets. It's like, oh, okay. Blowing past this guy. So I'm coming down that hill, coming into Cribbets, and I hit those railroad tracks. You know where they are at the bottom of that hill? Yeah. My fan goes right into my radiator. Steam coming out all over, okay? Like you can't believe. Somehow got it to a garage. This was a Friday at like 4 o'clock. Somehow got it to a garage. I said, yeah, we can fix it maybe in about a week.
Probably
pick it up.
Probably Wienermeyer's garage.
Probably. So I'm like, is there a car I can rent? So they said, well, maybe go up to, I said, what? I think it was Witz. And so I go up there and they go, this is the, and Jim, so just so when the other day when we're going to have lunch or something, I'm like, oh my God, I forgot my wallet.
Okay. You always do that.
But this is a true story. Okay. So I go there to rent a car and they say, give me your wallet. I go, oh my God, I forgot my wallet. So I didn't have my wallet. So they're like, we can't rent you a car that, you know, whatever. So I said, okay, let me try. So I called the sheriff at the time. I wouldn't say who it is. And I put him on the phone. And the lady goes, okay. So he looked up my number, put the whole thing. This is the actual sheriff.
Wow.
And she said, Mr. Mino, he wants to talk to you. He goes, Mino? I go, yes, sheriff. He goes, you owe me. I go, I know. He goes, whatever I need, when I need it, you owe me. Do you agree to this? Yes, sir. Okay, put her back on. And that's how I rented the car.
You got your car. All right, well, whatever works.
But I do forget my wallet a lot.
You do.
You know,
I think you do.
I'll
purpose.
Always pay you back.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Why do you think I barter so much?
Yeah, I don't.
It's the small town way.
Same thing. Yeah. Your salary is huge.
Yes.
That's good looking. You get all the makings of a great Bloody Mary here.
Actually, there's nothing better than fresh celery. It's like when you bite into it, it's like bubble gum. Like that first chew is like. Oh.
I know. I agree. What do you? So some people actually put maple syrup in Bloody Marys, don't they?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
They do. Yep. I mean, so you got all maple kinds of syrup, stuff. You got the pickles, you got the celery.
Wayne, we went to a golf outing last couple weeks ago, Johnny and I did, and of course, John has to have a Bloody Mary at 7:30 in the morning, and I'm like, yes. That's a little early
with
for
horseradish.
Me.
I love horseradish in a
Bloody. And he's getting all that stuff in there, and the lady said, "I said, what would you like?" And I said, "I don't want a Bloody Mary. I'll have a Bloody Mary without the vodka." And John's like, "Put his vodka in my Bloody Mary." So he had a double.
Can you imagine if the mayor came up to the UP with us?
Oh my gosh,
we'd be like holding his hand.
We're bringing up to pioneer days in Nagani.
He'd be a noodle when he came back.
Yeah, yeah, no,
one weekend.
But Wayne, we're excited about having you on the beats.
The beats.
I think that's going to be great for us.
And I'm going to do one on the beach.
What's on the beach?
I'll be on the beach.
Yeah, the beach twin.
Can we say Abby. On the beats, eh?
Yes, we can.
There we go.
On the beats, eh?
And we're going to have you, but we want to talk about farmers markets because some of these farmers markets aren't the original stuff, and they're bringing things in. We don't like that.
Well, you know what, though, Jim? I saw that article that a lot of the people are struggling at the farmers market because this season was so bad as far as there's no water that they've had to do that because there's not enough local crops.
It is different because even my honey coming in is super dry.
Yeah, like that's been a problem.
All right. But as long as it's good quality stuff, right? We don't want people.
Excellent, yeah.
All right. But if on the beats, when you're doing that
we got to work on the inflection.
Yeah. Okay.
The mayor wants me to be like an undercover cop.
I know, right?
I'm a nice guy.
I know you are.
I don't go that direction.
No. I want you just to give our listeners a accurate report of these roadside stands and
typical politician.
I know, right?
No. I spent 16 years with clowns like, you know, Mino.
I'm going to be like a police officer with a badge on me. Like, Big Wayne's coming.
Absolutely.
Put that celery down.
We're going to go local, no scammers. But yeah, that's going to be great to have you doing that. And we're going to, we'll get you on a regular basis. So what's going on this weekend? Anything in the world of farmers markets that people need to be aware of?
Talking beekeeper talk, this is go time for beekeepers. We're extracting the honey right now. We're spinning the honey out. So if you're looking for raw honey, get on Facebook and start, punching in local raw honey because it's coming to market right now.
Nice. And you said there's nothing better for you in regards to if you have allergies.
Yeah.
From local allergies, this can help not cure it, but control it.
Old fashions. Put it right into old fashions.
I know, right?
Yep.
But that we talked about that when you were here last week. That is really true. I mean, we laugh about it, but a raw honey from your local market can really help with some of your allergy challenges.
Yeah, they're collecting the local pollen, which is what you're allergic to.
Right.
That's the concept.
That's awesome.
I just think it's one of those things that it's almost like, you know, so many people want the, I can't think of the word for it, but natural remedies, not organic. There's a term for it. I can't think of it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I know the people over at the apothecary.
Holistic.
Holistic. That's the term I'm looking for. Are big into those kind of things. I did a story on them one time. And out in the town of Morrison, I think it was. I know they're downtown Green Bay now. But that is such a big thing. And a lot of these people are saying, you know, you're right. A lot of the most simple things your body adapts to better than anything manufactured in a lab.
Well, one thing we're going to have a clause saying whatever I say isn't like,
yeah, you can't,
isn't
right,
like
yes.
scientific,
right,
you
no,
know,
right.
so, you know.
Wayne is not a physician. He's just a guy from Crimmins who grows stuff.
I'm just bringing you the beat.
Exactly.
But what you're going to bring us though, Wayne, is, I mean, how can you go wrong buying local, you know, buying homegrown.
No, you can't.
I mean, those are things that plant-based, and so the things we're going to help with our listeners with. So frame makers.
A makers.
A
makers.
No, let's go A frame makers.
A frame makers.
A frame makers. .org.
Just Facebook.
Oh, Facebook.
A-frame acres.
Got it.
Say it again.
A-frame acres on Facebook.
Awesome. Right. Very good. Big Wayne, it's always fun having you here, buddy.
All right.
You got to go do some physical therapy for some people now.
Personal fitness training.
I like that.
Stick around. We got the city manager.
How do you think I'd be at that?
Well, we'll do a push-up challenge maybe.
City manager of Oshkosh coming up to talk about
more push-ups?
It. City manager
me
of Oshkosh
Jim?
Is yes, coming to talk to us.
Yeah, kind of.
After our break.
Out.
Okay, guys.
I like it.
Mark's on hold. This guy's great. He's done a great job in Oshkosh. Right. A little bit more on EAA. We'll be right back.
Mine on the bear. So good.